But let's get to racing. I wanted to talk to Patrick Bartley, who's written a story, both one I noticed yesterday and one today in The Age. He's the racing writer for Fairfax. G'day, Patrick.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm going well. Yourself?
Good. It's good afternoon. I'm sorry about that.
That's perfectly all right. Now, they're racing at Benalla today, and I believe they're checking the track because it's a fairly heavy water has hit the track up there at Benalla, so there mightn't be any racing today.
No, no. It's another way they can be called off. It's either extraordinary heat or unforeseen rain. So we're out there with the elements.
I did see something in the paper, which I did want to just quickly mention. See, apparently at Morfordville on Saturday, when it was 39 degrees or something, and everyone was moving races around to accommodate the safety of the horse, they moved the race from 5:30 from a 5:35 start to a 5:34 start in keeping with the heat policy. I must admit, that one did tickle my fancy. One of the more absurd things I've seen in sport so far this year. It's only early yet. Wanted to talk to you about two things. One of them's mentioned as part of the article you've written in Today's Age about the ratings and about racing.com. Where does racing.com sit? Because it appears that it has no figures to tell us how many people watch it.
No, well, that's it, Kevin. I mean, you're a man of, may I say, the old XY days.
Yeah.
Your industry lived and died by ratings.
Still does, unfortunately.
Yes, and of course it's people's jobs and it's the income. Now, I was astonished to find out after research that they don't have ratings there. They have it at Sky Channel, and Sky Channel use it very well. They see the soft parts of the week where people aren't viewing, and if that's married up with wagering, that's down. Can they help that end? Or Friday night racing going very well? So it's a great barometer to see how the product is going. But with this situation, they don't have anything apart from throwing a dart at the board or talking to people that watch it.
Making it up.
Yes, well, that's it. Basically, that's all you can do. Now, if you're going to sell significant advertising off the back of it, it's the only way advertisers will come in or say, I want to be part of this racing landscape, but tell me who's watching. And this is what's not being released. Now, I understand when Seven West made the deal with RBL that was it, that they wouldn't go into the ratings and that they didn't want to tarnish the overall trademark of the Seven network. Now, if racing is funding it as they are, I think they're entitled to get a very significant view of what's happening.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. If you're someone who's an advertiser who wants to put his money there, well, you want to know who's watching and how many are watching. That's as simple as that.
And look, and you could run into a huge firm that wants to be involved, but they want to say, as you know, Kevin, do we put it in a breakfast? Do we want to put it in a drive? And these are important things. So, look, the racing industry are struggling at the moment. We've got no CEO. We've got no chairman. We've just got a CEO for racing.com. We've got a new board coming in this year, a board of six. Look, we've had problems before in the 1990s. Sadly, we had Go Racing, a syndication that fleeced hundreds of thousands of dollars from people that invested in it. But fortunately, we came good again with the assistance of the Victorian Police with major crime, making recommendations for those who syndicate. And now, gladly, it's a great enterprise in 10 years ago, we had TVN, another disaster, with their consultants being paid more than Donald Trump. They got on top of that, and that was put away. But we are in a state of flux at the moment. But as I say, we are resilient, and we are a powerful industry. I just think we're going to get the right people into those positions and hopefully create an AFL-style commission that rules for all. My simple analogy there is that Essendon and Footscray don't have the wagering rights and Sydney and Brisbane have the media rights. It's got to be decentralised.
Yeah, no. And the other thing, though, is with what Martin Pakula is bringing in as the racing minister or hoping to bring in once it gets through Parliament, it's also not a magic wand. It doesn't fix everything immediately. There's still a hell of a lot of work to be done at ground level in racing.
Oh, for sure. But they've got to, Kevin, they've got to have some powers. I know some brilliantly influential Australians that will not join this board because they have insignificant power.
Yeah.
They've got to be vested with that. They've got to manage the rights for this, that and whatever. Let the clubs keep the beer cold, the pies warm, and we'll put the show on. I mean, MCG don't run cricket. They're just a stadium that stage it. And this is where we've got to get in step with sport. I think Bakula is keen to do it. It's going to be a tough call. I thought for a moment that even an ex-premier like Dennis Knapthine.
Yep.
He'd probably be on the wrong side of the politics, but he'd be ideal. His seat is in the heartland of racing at Warrnambool. He's been a vet. He's earned money from it, but he has no self-interest, which is a major problem, Kevin, that we have in this industry. We've got to have people aloof and not a party to sort of groups that are pulling one way and pulling another way.
Yeah, you can't have someone who owns 100 horses being on the board. That's just not going to work. If they have, you know, like I do and probably a million other people do, a small share in a syndicate somewhere, yep. I think that's not a bad thing. You can't completely stamp that out. But the other thing too is the empires that have been built around racing by the clubs and all that, they have to give up the empire. They have to walk away a little from that and let this organisation run it. That, as you quite rightly pointed out, the AFL clubs had to do that and they've now done it. And that's a terrific model for him to work off.
And don't forget, Collingwood would have been absolutely screaming.
Gone.
The Footscray.
Yeah.
The Footscrays, they were broke. They had the mortgage on one house. But it equalised. And look at it now. It's a healthy system. As you say, Collingwood hit a few hurdles.
Yeah, they did.
They were there. And last year's grand final, you couldn't have scripted. And I know you're coming from personal where you stand, Kevin, it was a fantastic result. But there it was. But we've got contrasting clubs in differing financial situations, you know, subdividing land and struggling to pay this and that. I just think one centralised body, forget self-interest.
Yep. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. What about the Racing Victoria CEO position? That's still one that yet to be filled, obviously has enormous impact on where racing goes.
It does. Very difficult position to fill. As I said this morning, poison chalice because of the litany of candidates that have tried it. I think he's got to be bold. He's got to be brave, or she,
yes,
with a taste of wagering in their background, and very tough. Tough as we've never had before, so that a chairman doesn't have to intervene, that a chairman is not the spokesman, that this guy and his executive run racing and just stamp it through with the committee. Unfortunately, we haven't had that luxury. I know they've tried to poach a few from the AFL and a few from the legal fraternity, other names from interstate. At the moment, the process is slowing up. It's not going to be an easy task, but we really need someone dynamic and really to gather them all together.
Is it the same situation as you mentioned with the board, that the people that they're talking to are obviously, clearly, if you approached me and said, here's this position, my first thing would be, okay, what am I allowed to do and what am I allowed not to do? Because if I can't run it, I don't want the job.
That's the first question you'd ask. And the second question is, before you sat down, who's the chairman?
Yeah, correct.
Who am I going to work with intimately? Who am I going to ring at night?
Yep.
I think we've got a long way to go.
Okay. Do we need does racing need, and you'll know what this expression means, does racing need a toe cutter in that role?
Oh yes.
Yeah, okay.
We had a lovely, likeable chap called Brian Beattie, who was like a big cuddly bear until he strangled you. Did he get the game going? He came in and bulldozed the old thoughts, brought people back to the races, made it a presentable commodity. And as he said, look after the TAB, let's get it going. And no one ever dared cross him. He was a man from a corporate background that was probably one of the great Australian movers and shakers.
Yep.
I wonder what he's thinking today.
Yeah. Patrick Bartley has joined me from The Age. The Cobalt saga, jockeys betting, all those things that finish up on the front page of the paper rather than the sports section, where we want to be reading about racing rather than the front page. Are we getting on top of those, Patrick?
Well, we're into the third year now with the Cobalt VCAT. Hearings are coming out, I would imagine, later in January with the appeals from O'Brien and Kavanagh. I've got no feeling on which way they'll go. But it has certainly impacted on racing, Cobalt. I don't think I think there's been a largely a wrong take on it. The stewards were told, go out and get scalps for cobalt. They're cheating. They bagged eight, and all RVL will do is back and not support them. They've got to have support. That's their job. I've heard of Brian Stewart, the chief vet, and Dale Brown and Terry Bailey have all been bagged for what they've done, but they didn't stick cobalt down their throats. They're just seeing the swab results.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be an interesting year in it. The jockeys get betting. Interesting, the tennis player, the man in Sydney, has come forward now. He's going to give evidence, I think, next week in the James McDonald case. At least we can go over the border for some controversy this time and see how it goes. But I think, look, they are inquiries that will run its course in the new year, but it would be great this year in racing to get some clear air and a sort of strong, robust, vibrant group to run racing.
Yep, it's obviously what we need to have. And the other thing you mentioned in your story this morning in The Age is the Hayes Dabbenig stable and the fact that they're back on top again. And we had it again on the weekend. They had the winner in the first, Catchy, which a two-year-old that looks like it's going to be pretty good. And they had Bradman in the last. And they've had winners at the same day. They had winners everywhere else in Victoria and South Australia as well.
What a staggeringly amazing family this is, the Hayeses.
Yeah.
Colin Hayes in the early 1960s, a four-bob boilermaker, worked out that he'd moved from Morfordville to the Adelaide Hills and set up Lindsay Park. They laughed at him. He proved that he could train horses off course, and he proved that he could train over 100 horses. That dynasty went on and on. David Hayes went to Hong Kong, proved his worth again. But the common denominator, they've kept it in the family. 4 years ago, David Hayes was mocked for going to Euroa.
Yes.
He knew what he was doing. He's now got 100 two-year-olds. He's got his son Ben, his nephew Tom Dabbenig, to spread the load of responsibility. They've set up a base in Adelaide. He's got one of the favourites for the Magic Millions. He's got the first and second favourites for the Blue Diamond, which may well translate into the favourite for the Golden Slipper. His 100 two-year-olds mean there'll be 100 three-year-olds. He'll be everywhere this year, buying up at yearling sales. Look, they are extraordinary. And they work it hard. They have unblemished records. They're remarkable people. And, of course, you'd know his twin boys who
yep.
played for Footscray.
Yeah, they did.
So that'll mean you'll be buying horses for them. Magic Millions.
Not too sure about that, Patrick. Nice thought, but not unless I win Tats Lotto sometime in the next week or so. No, it's a remarkable story in there, and he's just a great bloke, David. And obviously, the fact that it is a real family thing is real a very good racing story. Hey, Patrick, always good to catch up, and always good to read your stuff in The Age as well. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Kevin. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Patrick Bartley there joining us from The Age. Check out his story today. There are a few bright spots amid a sea of controversy is the headline.